Shabbat Shalom. Today is a double portion of the parsha, Parsha Archemot and Kedoshim. And since it's twice, then it's a half an hour per segment, so then we get an hour, right? Okay. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. The entire passages are Leviticus 16:1 through 20. There's a lot going on, a lot of good sermon material. We see the institution of the Day of Atonement. Okay, sacrifices had to be done in the tabernacle and later the temple. Okay, they couldn't be done out in a field. You know, they had to be done at a proper time in a proper place and in a detailed manner. Eating of blood is prohibited. Continues with the laws. Regarding all manner of perversions and the capital offenses regarding that. The second parsha, among other things, it deals with holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Keeping the Sabbath, no fortune-telling or witchcraft. Don't consult with mediums trying to contact the dead. And this kind of behavior includes Ouija boards and horoscopes and anything like that. No psychic hotlines, you know, that kind of thing. It also deals with honoring parents, dealing justly in business, treating the deaf and blind fairly, not gossiping, not standing idle. If you see your neighbor's life is threatened, you got to help. You can't just stand by. Loving your neighbor as yourself. The laws regarding the gleaning of food, you couldn't harvest all your crop. You had to leave food at the edge of your field to be gleaned by the poor and strangers. And I sometimes wonder, and this is just, I think, I don't have any scriptural basis behind this idea, but sometimes I wonder if this particular gleaning idea is the reason behind when Yeshua and the disciples were walking along the road and they saw a fig tree, and it says it wasn't the time for figs, but there were leaves on there. Okay, and Yeshua went up to get a fig, and there weren't any figs, so he cursed it. Why did he curse it if it wasn't the time for figs and the release on the tree? Well, probably because the harvest was already over and there should have been figs there. And the owner of the fig tree said, well, I'm taking it anyway. So, you know, he violated this law. That's my opinion. You know, I don't have any proof of it, but that's what I think may have been going on there. Okay. But what I'd like to focus on is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement was once a year. Wasn't just in any old place or in any old time. It was an appointed time and an appointed place in the Holy of Holies. And Aaron was warned through Moses by God, don't just go in there any old time you want to. Don't just go in there any old way. And all the instructions were actually detailed. They brought two goats to the tabernacle and presented them before the Lord. And lots were cast to determine which one was for the Lord and which one was the scapegoat. Okay, the one for the Lord was going to be sacrificed, and the one for the scapegoat, they laid hands on him, placed all the sins of Israel on the scapegoat, and he was led out to the wilderness and let go to be on his own. There is some traditional belief that it was then taken out and pushed over a cliff to prevent it from coming back, but there's no scriptural instruction to back that up or back up that practice. I wonder, could it be that the sins of the people on the goat, when it was sent away, that signifies repentance. It was put out of the camp. It was gotten rid of. Okay? But the sin was paid for by another. Okay? By the other goat. The old covenant sacrifices just covered the sin and rolled them ahead here until Yeshua, the final sacrifice, when the curtain of the Holy of Holies was torn in two. Now we can come boldly before the throne of grace instead of a high priest going on our behalf once a year. But why do we keep Yom Kippur? I mean, you know, if Yeshua paid it all, why do we still remember it, celebrate it? Because we still have to repent. Don't think for a minute that you can just go on sinning and get away with it. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean that believers never sin? Of course not. First John 1:8 says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 9 says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 4:14-16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Grace is not a license to sin. That license lets you drive down the Broadway that leads to destruction. No, grace takes away a license to sin and offers you true freedom from sin and its consequences through Yeshua, our Messiah, the final sacrifice. Shabbat Shalom.